digital marketer. This week, it's Ari Bagar.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Marketer Podcast. My name is Garrett, and today we are hosting Ari Bagar. Now, if you have not heard of Ari Bagar, you need to go check out conversesmart.com and see what his agency is all about. Ari is utilizing conversations. Conversations are, you know, across so many different platforms now, but he's utilizing conversations through SMS, through messenger marketing, and he's even breaking into marketing through mobile wallets, which is something that I just haven't heard a whole lot about. And I was super excited to have the chance to sit down with Ari and go through kind of his story, which is a fascinating one, and then also diving into some of the tactical ways that he's utilizing these emerging channels to add value for his clients on top of the services that he offers, the traditional, you know, advertising, branding, marketing services that most agencies offer. But he's utilizing SMS marketing, text message marketing in a way that is just brilliant. He's the biggest advocate for SMS marketing, and we talked extensively about the future and what that channel holds for brands, for agencies, for marketers around the world. So this was a great episode, a little bit of a different episode. I really wanted to focus in on Ari's story a bit in the beginning here, just because Ari is a young guy who's massively successful, doing some pretty incredible things with his marketing agency. And through this story, you're going to see how he really bootstrapped everything from the ground up. He really put in the time and dedicated himself to figuring out what it takes to really start a business. And I think it's really cool to hear these stories sometimes, just because, you know, we're all out there trying to make something happen. And it's really, really cool to hear the testament of hard work paying off. So enough of me talking. It's good to be back with you here on the podcast. I feel like it's been a while since I've done an intro like this, but I'm still here. I'm still doing this, and we're still bringing you the best marketers in the world straight to your speakers every week. And I just wanted to say thank you for being here. Thanks for subscribing. If you haven't subscribed yet, let me tell you, you should hit that subscribe button. But seriously, thank you for being here. Excited to have you. And without further ado, Ari Bagar. All right, man. Well, Ari, thank you so much for joining us here on the podcast. How are you, my man?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. Of course. Well, like we were talking about a little bit earlier, I wanted to dive in today and kind of hear the story of how you started your agency. Then we're going to dive into a few of the things that are working like right now in your agency, dive into some of the really tactical things that you guys are applying over there. And then I want to hop into that crystal ball of yours and see what you're thinking about the future of the marketing landscape, about marketing agencies, and ways to stay relevant in today's day and age. So enough of me talking, Ari. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your story? Where'd you come from, and how'd you end up starting your own agency?
Yeah, so I grew up in Togo. And if you look at the list of the poorest countries right now, Togo is like number 11. So I grew up in that country. Yeah, one of the poorest countries in the world. And luckily, my mom was able to move out here and bring my brother and me here. So I went to middle school here in Chicago, and then ended up graduating high school here, and then went to college. So right when I went to college, that's when things started to go downhill, where I was going for pharmacy, right? I wanted to become a pharmacist. At least that's what I thought. And then when I started, you know, I just didn't like it. So I ended up dropping out. And at that time, I was playing video games. This was like in 2013. I was playing FIFA all the time, and I consider myself pretty good at FIFA. So I started playing professionally. Yeah. I was playing on Twitch, which at that time Twitch was like so new. Twitching. I grew to like 1,000 followers in like the first month, and I'm like, okay, this could go somewhere. Like I could actually make money doing this. Uh-huh. And then my parents were like, dude, like you can't just sit at home and just play video games. Like, nobody makes money playing video games. And I'm like, you don't understand. Like, you know, there's people are going to be making. And now kids are making like $500,000 a month just playing on Twitch. And I'm like,
All the Fortnite players, you got Tfue and Ninja and all those all those people.
Yeah. So then, you know, I didn't want to go back to college, so I decided to like, you know, join the army. That's one of the things that I wanted to do when I was a kid. I was talking to my mom before coming here. I'm like, you know, I always wanted to be in like the Navy, but when I came here, you know, for some reason I joined the army instead. I was gone for like a year for my training. And I came back, so I started doing like more reserve stuff. When I came back, I decided to try college again. So then I decided to go to Roosevelt University in downtown Chicago and study computer science. So before starting, you know, the school year, I met one of my friends. He's like a really good friend now, Victor Kung, here in Chicago. And he had like a really nice apartment in downtown Chicago when we met. I was like, how did you get that apartment? Like, you have like a super nice view. And he's like, oh, I build websites for brands. And I'm like, how do you even do that? Like, this was like, I think, he's like, you write pieces of code and like, you know, you save it and then it shows up. And I never knew that's how like people made websites. Like I had no clue. So I'm like, you know what, send me some resources, you know, maybe I can start learning it and see where this goes. So he sent it to me and he's, I think he sent me like, Treehouse, and the other one was Envato. That's another good one. So there's like some free classes on there. So I started out on Envato, just learning how to code. And when school started, like I was just like learning how to code on the side. And at one point, like I didn't even care about the school homework. I would just come home and just code. Cause like I was looking at it where like I would spend like so much time, you know, in class, just learning about English and like Shakespeare. I just didn't care. I'm like, you know, stories from like the 1400s. And I'm like, how is this going to help me? So I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go home and just like code on my own. At that time too, I realized like, you know, computer science and like coding websites has like nothing to do with each other. Computer science was much, much harder than I thought. So I'm like, you know, I'm not interested in like learning zeros and ones and all that cool stuff. You know, I just want to build websites and potentially like build a career out of it. And that's what I did. So my friend that I was talking to that showed me all the stuff ended up, you know, starting his own agency at that time, building websites for businesses in Chicago. And then he gave me a project for the first time just to test my skills. And after the project, I designed the websites. I had to like learn Photoshop, Illustrator, all that cool stuff and design my first websites. And then I'm like, you know, at this point, I don't need college anymore. So I decided to leave college the second time. Just like, learn how to code on my own. So I moved back to my parents' house and literally every single day for like months, like 6 months, I was just like coding. I would just like wake up and just like hop on a computer and learn how to code. And, you know, my parents were like, why are you like, what are you doing on that computer all day? Like, you need to go outside or like you need to do something with your life. And I'm like, mom, you don't understand. Like people are actually money doing this stuff. And so I decided to like, you know, just to make him happy, I decided to get a job. So I got like a sales job.
Okay.
Comcast.
Oh yeah. I'm from the Midwest. So I know all about them Comcast reps.
So I got a job with Comcast. I was making pretty good money. Like, and I was actually like their top salesperson for like a couple months. And I was just like going mad, just selling a bunch of stuff. So then, you know, I was learning how to code. And then my friend told me like, you know, we should get into marketing. So I started to look into marketing, like Facebook and stuff like that. And then in 2016, when like, you know, remember the gorilla that died, the Harambe gorilla?
Oh, yeah.
So at that time, you know, I started my e-commerce brand, like, you know, just like a Shopify store, like, you know, and I was just trying to figure out like, how do I drive traffic to this? And at that time, like Facebook pages have like so much reach and compared to what it is now.
The glory days. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, why don't I buy some Facebook pages and just like drive traffic to my website and see how it goes? So around that time, I think it was like March or May, I just started to like message some Facebook pages and say, hey, are you selling the page? And they were all like, no, I'm not interested in selling, because like everything was blowing up. And then 2 weeks later, one of them hit me up. He's like, hey, you know, I'm interested in selling the page. I really need some money right now. And I was like, how much are you selling it for? He was like, $300. And it was like a page that had like 47,000 likes. Like everything was going viral.
Wow. You know,
this guy has to be either stupid or he's trying to scam me. So I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I'll PayPal you the $300 right now if you're interested. And he was like, no, I'm in India. I don't have PayPal. You have to do Western Union, man. I was like, man, what if I send you that $300 and you don't send, you know, give me access to the Facebook page?
Right, right.
and then he was like, no, trust me. Like, I have some family issues. Like, just like send me the money. I'll give you access to the page. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. It's only $300. You know, we'll see what happens. Uh-huh. I sent him the money and he gave me access to the Facebook page. And I was like so surprised. So I just like started posting on a page. And everything was blowing up. Like people were sending me content. I didn't have to do much for the content. Like I would post a video, get like a million views, and like the next day.
Wow.
Yeah. So I started to like make Harambe t-shirts using my Photoshop skills and my Shopify store. So every time I would post, I just put them in like the comments, and I would get sales. At one point, I was making like $300 a day in profit. Just like doing that, not even like posting on a page, just putting in the comments.
Wow. And
yeah, I thought at that point, I thought I made it, like this was it.
Hell yeah.
And then 3 weeks later, like, you know, somebody else like messaged me and they're like, hey, I want to buy your Facebook page. And at that time, I think I was like 17 or 18. So I was like, you know, I'm interested in selling. And they're like, they could buy for like $8,000. And there's like a website that, you know, you can plug in your Facebook page and it tells you like how much it's worth based on engagement and likes.
Uh-huh.
At that time it was worth around like $11,000 and they offered $8,000. I'm like, you know, I'm kind of like, I'm 18, you know, I could use $8,000 and do things with it. So I'm like, yeah, I'm interested in selling. And they're like, hey, you have to give us admin access for the Facebook page. And I'm like, you know, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to give you admin access before you send me the money. And then they're like, no, they said they worked for like some random company. I just clicked the website, looked it up. I'm like, you know, it seems legit. And then they told me like the manager really wanted access to the page. So I decided, you know what? I can give you access to the page, which is like a, you know, it's a rule that Facebook has that you can give admin access. But within 6 days, like the new admin cannot remove the main admin. So I'm like, you know, 6 days is enough for them to be able to send me the money to know if this is real or not. So I made him, you know, admin of the page. But at that time, I didn't know anything about Facebook Business Manager, how you can claim ownership of a page. So I gave him access and they took my page and I lost I lost everything at that point.
Man.
That was like one of the best hacks like I've ever come across. It was crazy. And I couldn't like track him back. They blocked me, everything. Like I was freaking out.
Wow. So what did you do at that point?
Yeah, at that point I started to like learn more, you know, different ways I could drive traffic to site. So that's when I started getting into like Facebook marketing. I was learning Facebook ads, just reading blogs about it. And then, you know, it didn't go too well because like, you know, Facebook ads is just like a whole other world. You need to learn so much about, you know, copy, creative, targeting, and a bunch of other stuff. So I was learning that, you know. And then we decided to like shift to, you know, doing marketing for like, you know, small businesses here in Chicago, which it took a lot of work. Literally, I was like driving to like small businesses like every day, like during summertime in Chicago, trying to get them like I made like a whole like, you know, I wrote like it was like a marketing letter. Not sure what you call it, but it was basically like, hey, here's what we do. We can help you get these results if you're marketing. As a small business, here's our information. Early did that.
You're just knocking on doors, cold calling. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, I just like
bootstrap
going everywhere, driving all around Chicago, just leaving that. We're trying to talk to the business owner. And we got a few clients out of that. And after a while, we realized like small businesses didn't have enough money anyway, or just like super stressful. So we decided to start doing e-commerce stuff. So one of my friends actually had an e-commerce brand that he started, and I looked at it and I saw different ways that we could drive traffic. So we started like working with him on his e-commerce business. Yeah. And then within 5 months, we took him to like $100,000 per month. in like 5 months. And around that time, that's when I stumbled upon Facebook Messenger chatbots. So I looked into chatbots. I thought this was pretty cool. I think I checked out the Domino's bot, but I didn't really, you know, dive into it until like summer of 2017. When I started to look at it, you know, a few people started to talk about it more. And I decided to look into it. So I started building bots in mini chats because it was like super simple to do it. And I went to a conference and showed it to people. People thought it was like really cool how you can collect leads and do all that cool stuff. And it was like way cheaper than Facebook ads. Still is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, we need to do this more to more, you know, businesses. So I started to, you know, build more bots, more advanced bots, showing it to people. We're still at the same time trying to work with small businesses, but it was so hard because here in Chicago, there's like so much competition, especially we were targeting like chiropractors and like I think real estate agents. I decided to like then get a job. So I moved out to LA, started working at one of the fastest growing agencies here in LA. And I was building bots for them, just like for all the e-commerce clients. So I got like a lot of experience just doing it. Like every single day, I was like the only person building all their bots. And I think at one point I was working on like almost 20 clients, 20 e-commerce clients.
That's a lot of conversations to keep in
track. Yeah. So just doing like, you know, bottom of the funnel optimization and like top of funnel Facebook Messenger marketing for them. And after a while, in 2018, that's when I decided to leave and start my own company. Called Converse Smart, and we've grown a lot since because like a lot of the work that I did at that agency, I was able to showcase it to, you know, different conferences that I was speaking at, and messenger marketing was like pretty new. So, you know, a lot of people, I was posting content. A lot of people were asking me for advice. And when I, you know, left the agency, I started to get, you know, more and more clients and that started to grow. And now like, you know, we've been like helping a lot of e-commerce brands, a lot of the leading e-commerce brands, turn not only Facebook Messenger, but we also added on, you know, SMS marketing, and we help them, you know, generate more revenue through that, whether it's through like, you know, bottom of the funnel optimization or top of funnel customer acquisition. So that's kind of like how I started. I know it was like a long story, but that's kind of like how I started.
No, I mean, it's a fascinating story. And, you know, it's really interesting to me how, you know, you come up through this agency and you're working on all of these messenger campaigns, and then you start your own agency working on, you know, kind of the same thing, but then bringing some of the SMS back into the picture. What led you to bring SMS into, you know, your, you know, slew of products or services that you're offering?
Yeah, I think SMS is going to be a much bigger channel than like messenger or email, because when you look at it, like I think the stat was that 97% of Americans have like a cell phone, and then I think 70 to 80% have like a smartphone. So the reach on SMS is so much greater than any other channel. And right now there are no limitations as how much you can promote, because right now there are limitations with Facebook Messengers. So we saw like SMS being an opportunity. And what really led me to like adding SMS is because you can do some of the same things that we do with Messenger, you know, customer journey retargeting, sending the right message to the right customer at the right time based on where they are in the customer journey. You can do the same through SMS now, which I think much more valuable because you're able to reach, you know, more customers over SMS. So that's one of the reasons why we decided to add on SMS.
It makes a ton of sense. You know, it's interesting. I have like, I get SMS marketing from a place called World Market. If you're in the South, I'm sure you know what that is. Kohl's sends me SMS coupons all the time. And I'm like, I'm thinking about this and I see a lot of these big brands do it. And I'm like, man, this is definitely something. So it was funny. I got a message today and, you know, I look at my Apple Watch and here comes a coupon from Kohl's. And I'm like, this is perfect timing that I'm talking to Ari because I'm so curious as to, you know, is this a channel that people should be paying attention to, or, you know, is it something that only big brands can really achieve success with? I mean, would you say that it is better suited for a particular type of brand, or is it pretty, you know, agnostic in terms of, you know, who it can work for?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I think right now anyone can leverage SMS. Because if you think about it, it's just another way for you to be able to communicate with your customer. So it doesn't matter how big your audience is. You can still leverage it to reach your customers directly. So I think right now, a lot of brands do email marketing. Right now, if you're not doing email marketing, then, you know, you seem like a crazy person. If you say, hey,
right.
I do e-commerce, I don't do email marketing, like people are going to get really pissed. SMS is like email marketing to the next level where you're able to reach that customer. The stats over SMS are just like amazing. Like you get 97% of your list is going to open your message within 15 minutes. Like when you think about that, just imagine the magnitude of results that you're going to get just from that, like being able to reach that those customers. So it doesn't matter how big your audience is, you can still leverage it.
Another thing that I noticed in terms of what you offer through your agency is mobile wallet. And that's a channel that I'm not too familiar with in terms of how to leverage it and what you can do with it. Would you mind kind of explaining, you know, a 10,000 foot view of what, you know, marketing through your mobile wallet is all about?
So this one is really special, and it's just something that we just added because we think it's going to really drive a lot of value for retailers. Not only do we work with like direct to consumer brands, I think the mobile wallet is going to be really popular in the next few years, especially with like, you know, the Android wallet and Apple's wallet. I forgot what they call it, but and you know, basically the cool thing about mobile wallet is it allows you to leverage online to drive foot traffic. And it allows you to track that experience. So if somebody redeems a coupon and they download the coupon onto their wallet, and they go in store, you can track and say, hey, this Facebook ad, led them to come in the store and redeem that coupon. So this is something that you're not able to do now. So this is more for like retailers. And I think one feature, that I think is going to provide a lot of value to retailers is, let's say you give out like coupons or you're running a promotion. If a customer downloads that coupon onto their wallet and they walk nearby your store, if you have beacons installed in your retail store, send a notification directly to that customer when they're nearby on your cell phone. And you can say, hey, stop by to get, you know, to redeem your coupon. So I think this can have more revenue. So that's some of the things that use cases that we're trying to work on with retailers right now. It's still fairly new, but I think this is going to be really huge for retailers.
That is so smart. And it's funny because I remember when mobile wallet first came out, there was a grocery store, Kroger, still around. Kroger had like their Kroger card. And I remember driving by a Kroger one time and my Kroger card popped up in my mobile wallet, just like forefront of my screen. And I'm like, this is genius. And it's funny. I live and breathe marketing every day and I just don't hear anyone talking about this as a channel. So it's just fascinating to me. And it's cool that y'all are utilizing it. So, all right, man. Well, I've got a heavy hitter question. What is the best campaign that you've run for a client this year? And why was it just something that you're super proud of?
So one of the campaigns that we ran this year is for one of our clients, the Beard Club. It used to be known as Dollar Beard Club. So we ran a Facebook Messenger campaign to drive potential customers and grow their messenger list, because they had no messenger list. They were starting completely from scratch. And one of the things that we did was run a viral campaign in 3 weeks or so. We run a viral campaign just to grow a messenger list that we can sell to. And this one makes me proud because, you know, we've generated more revenue for other clients, but this one is really special because a lot of the brands that we work with are kind of like in that same category where they're doing, I think, 10 to 20 million a year, where want to show them like, hey, you can use Facebook Messenger marketing as a new channel to reach customers. And you can, you know, get these amazing open rates and click through rates. So within like, I think 3 to 4 weeks, we were able to drive 33,000 new Messenger subscribers. Oh. We spent, I think, like, you know, $3,000 in ads, which is really low. So our cost per acquisition or per subscriber was like, I think, 10 cents or so. And just in that short period of time, and we sold to that list and we did a broadcast, we got like a 97% open rate, a 67% click through rate. yeah,
those are dream numbers.
I know. And the return, I think, talking to the client, was like well above 9x or so. So
wow,
that was like one of my favorite campaigns because it was like so fun to run that
over
Messenger and show them like what Messenger can do. So that would be like one of my favorite campaigns that you ran this year.
I mean, and that's just, you know, the tip of the iceberg right there. Just kind of, you know, breaking in and working with a brand to create an experience. And then now I'm sure they're going out and utilizing, you know, these techniques and utilizing these strategies to continue that growth. That is too cool. So what would you say is the biggest challenge that you're facing right now in running your agency?
The biggest challenge right now is, you know, hiring the right people. Like I've been thinking
about the first time I've heard that one.
Yeah. So the first one was like, how do I like stay super lean and, you know, systemize my entire agency? So every process is like, you know, can be duplicated for each client. I think we got that one down. Now it's like, where do I find the best people to put in place, you know, to run these systems? So yeah, I've been hiring quite a few people, and it's always hard, especially like I had to let someone go recently, and it was like the hardest thing I've ever done.
Really?
I had to hop on a call and let them know, hey, you know, it's not working out, and I was like so nervous. It was crazy. Like, I've spoken
not
to,
an
like,
easy thing to do.
Yeah, I've spoken on biggest stages, and like I think I was like more nervous on this call trying to, you know, fire somebody than like I was first time ever speaking on the stage. So that's how crazy.
Wow.
But after that, I realized like, you know, it wasn't that hard, and it's something that I was proud that I was able to do for the first time. Because like as an entrepreneur, you need to be able to like make those decisions. You should not be afraid to make those decisions. So this was like, you know, huge for me to be able to like have that experience. But I think right now, like hiring is like my only challenge. One of my only challenges.
Yeah. No, definitely. You know, it's funny that you're saying this because I'm currently writing a big pillar blog post for one of our brands. And I was talking about the challenge of hiring in this blog post and how it's so important to have a really well-established kind of format for your hiring. Like, what does your hiring process look like? And how do you make sure that every time you put someone through this hiring process that it results in the best person for not only for the job, but also for your brand and for your company? I feel like there's so many, you know, amazing candidates out there who, you know, have the chops to do what you want them to do and can help you grow your company. But at the same time, are they the right person for your company in terms of a culture fit? Are they the right person who is going to bring something new to the table? So I hear you loud and clear. And believe it or not, when I talk to a lot of agency owners, hiring always comes up. It's always a challenge. So
yeah. So make sure you got to send me that blog post when it comes out.
I will. We've got some checklists in there that you can download that are like straight up like, all right, here's all of the things you need to do in your hiring process. So I'll send it your way for sure. All right, Ari, I've got a couple more questions for you. One is in and around the future. So, you know, looking at what you're doing in your agency, you know, you're staying on top of the trends. You're doing things that some agencies haven't even broken into. What are some emerging channels and opportunities that you think agencies should really be paying attention to as they move through this year and, you know, potentially even into next year?
Yeah, I think some of the, you know, new channels that agencies should offer as services are, you know, Facebook Messenger marketing. It's like an easy upsell if you're already doing Facebook ads for them.
Yeah.
Say, hey, now we can run Facebook ads through Facebook Messenger, where you can cut your customer acquisition by at least 50%, which is some of the things that we've seen by using Facebook Messenger. Another thing is, and with Facebook Messenger, you can really divide it into two separate parts. It can be top of funnel, where you're using it as an acquisition channel, where you're building a list. Think of it as an email marketing service where you're building a list that you're nurturing and selling to. And the second part is, you know, bottom of the funnel, which is helping the client, you know, recover more, you know, abandoned carts or sending notifications depending on where people drop off in the customer journey. That really drives a lot of revenue for brands that we work with. One of the smaller brands that we work with, like, even made like $130,000 in like 10 weeks just doing that on autopilot.
Wow.
So these are some of the, these are some of the things that you can do through, you know, Facebook Messenger. Another thing is SMS. I'm more excited about SMS than anyone.
I love it.
SMS, I think, is going to be the number one way for businesses to communicate with customers, I think, in the next 5 to 10 years or so, because, you know, email has gotten super spammy. We all know that. Go in your inbox, you know, there's like, you know, the average person gets like 98 emails every single day. So there's like a lot of competition. So SMS is just like this new channel that, you know, you can leverage, you know, take advantage of the high open rates and click through rates. And the average return that we've seen for SMS is like 25x, which is crazy high. So if you get in early, that's like an easy selling point to clients. We do estimates for clients to show them, hey, this is how much revenue you can make based on how, your traffic, your conversion rate. So they're able to see, hey, I'm getting like, you know, 600,000 visitors. I can make like, you know, 500,000 the first month and 1 million the second month or so. So we do like an estimate and show them how much they can make. So they're able to like, you know, add on SMS. So those are some of the two channels that I'm looking at. If you have the resources, mobile wallets is going to be huge for retail. If you want to jump into the retail space, but retail is always hard because, you know, retailers are, you know, super busy. They're always doing 100 other different things. Their attention is not the easiest thing. But I think mobile wallet is also going to be another channel to look forward to. And if you look at the trend in these three channels, they just allow you to reach your customers directly on their cell phone where they spend most of their time. So that most people are spending like the majority of their day on their cell phone. So if we have channels where we can, you know, reach them directly on their cell phone, those are the channels that I always look at because they drive a lot more value for, you know, the e-commerce brands that we work with.
No doubt. It's that mobile first thinking. Yeah. I love it. You know, it's, I was talking with Justin Rondo, who is our head of marketing here. And he was telling me a story of, he went to this like, it was some sort of marketing mastermind, kind of a class where, you know, everyone was, you know, around the 10 to 20 million mark in terms of revenue for their business. They were doing really well. And somebody got up and started talking, and this was in 2019, someone got up and started talking about the opportunity with mobile marketing and focusing in on, you know, optimizing for cell phones. And it was just unbelievable to hear that in 2019, people are just starting to realize that mobile marketing and meeting people where they're at, which is on their cell phones, is the biggest opportunity. So I just thought that was a funny little aside there.
When you look at the traffic of most brands, like they're at least like 50% on average, like 60% or so of their traffic is like mobile. And it's crazy to me that your pop-up is collecting emails where you could be collecting phone numbers. And you can reach them right there on their cell phone.
So smart. Well, man, one last question for you. Well, actually, two. The last question's a simple one. But if you could go back to day one of your agency and knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself?
Yeah, I would say that relationships are the best way to get new customers. So one of the things that I realized is that a lot of our clients come from, you know, events. So me going out to events and meeting people in person and talking to them and then setting up meetings, I'll say like probably 90% of our clients just come through that. So I tell myself, hey, just go to more conferences, like high quality conferences. Like if the conference is free, you know, I wouldn't go because I don't think anyone that important is going to go. At least that's going to pay you money. It's going to be at a free conference. Well, maybe it's because the clients that we work with, they're not going to be somewhere or it's like free conference. So I go to like some conferences. And I think that has really helped my agency grow. And even like I've hosted my own conference this year. It's called DTC Day. So we hosted an e-commerce conference for some of the leading brands in New York City. We had like 104 people show up, all e-commerce marketers and executives. And it was like a really good time. You know, the content was good, a really great day. So that was like one way to like, you know, meet more people in my industry, get those people in my network, which is going to translate in like new clients for me, and also adds those people to my network. So I'll also tell myself to, you know, don't be afraid to like do both things, because like I spent a lot of money on that event doing it in New York City, but the value that I got from it is like much, much greater. So I'll tell myself to not be afraid to like make bold moves like that.
Well, man, I appreciate your time. I appreciate all of the wisdom that you distilled down for us today. Last thing, where can people find out more about you, your business, and what you've got going on?
So if you're interested in checking out my conference that we're doing for e-commerce brands, and full disclaimer, this is only for brands. If you're an agency, we're not taking agencies right now, but you can still go on the website to learn more at dtcday.com. If you want to learn more about me, just go to rebegaw.com. And if you want to work my agency, you'd be able to find a link there. My agency name is Converse Smarts, and you can find us at converssmart.com.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much. I know you're always down here in Austin, Texas in the office, so looking forward to the next time I get to see you in person. But great to catch up, man. Thank you again, and I hope you have a great day.
All right, awesome. Thanks for having me.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening today. Before we go, I just wanted to share one special little deal that I've got up my sleeve. So hear me out. So September 17th through September 19th, we're putting on an event called Digital Agency Expo. Now, we've got a couple of big headliners coming in. Obviously, you know Ryan Dice will be there, but Gary Vaynerchuk is actually going to be there talking all about his agency and really focusing in more on, you know, what it takes to build an agency from the ground up. I know that he talks a lot of aspirational stuff, but this is going to be a really cool technical side of the Gary Vaynerchuk empire. Also, Rachel Tipograph of Micmac, she's going to be there talking about her story, what they're doing to build the brand from the ground up. It's just a really cool lineup. We got a ton of other speakers, a ton of agency owners who are going to be sharing their stories, their experience, and their tactics and strategies with you to help you build the agency that you're trying to build, to help you build an agency that makes an impact on the world, and to help you build an agency that gives you the life that you want. So, enough of me talking. Head on over to digitalagencyexpo.com and just check out the website. Check out what the speakers are or who the speakers are. It's going to be in Times Square in New York City. It's going to be a ton of fun, and we can't wait to see you there. I'll be there doing some podcast interviews. So I'm the tall blonde one. You'll see me walking around the conference. Stop me at any point and we'll hop in the podcast booth and do a little podcast action. I would love to talk with you. But yeah, and I was able to get us a little discount code for the podcast. So if you use discount code podcast during checkout at digitalagencyexpo.com, we'll be able to get you $500 off on your ticket. This event is limited. We're hosting it in downtown New York City. So we are keeping it limited to 1,250 people. 1,250 agencies are going to be admitted to this event. And it's going to be one heck of a networking event, one heck of a learning event, and also an exposition. We've got some amazing, amazing plans in terms of linking you with brands that are going to help you grow your business, linking you with people around the community of agencies that are there to help, you know, share stories and find ways that you can leverage other people's experiences to avoid mistakes here in the future for yourself, but also to share a little bit about what's making your business successful. So anyways, I'm super excited about this event. I've been working closely with the team here at Digital Marketer, who Marcus and Jenna Snavely that you know on this podcast, who does this podcast, also finds time to program the entirety of Traffic and Conversion Summit, and then now Digital Agency Expo, which she's taken the lead on and put together a phenomenal list of speakers. So I know this is long-winded, but I just miss being on the microphone. It's good to talk with y'all. I hope to see you out at Digital Agency Expo, digitalagencyexpo.com. Don't forget to use that promo code podcast. I'll spell it out for you. PODCAST. And that'll get you $500 off your ticket. Tickets are going fast, so head on over there. Even more so, rooms are going fast. So get yourself all set up and ready for the event. And yeah, we'll see you there.
Hey, DM listeners, if you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up, because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and three unique design themes for each holiday. The Promo Pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free. Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.